Hi there, and welcome to your show, Take Two, with Jerry and Debbie and you. I'm Debbie Giorgiani with Jerry Usher, and the phone lines are open. We introduce the question, and you take it away the Take Two way. I love that. So here's the question today, Jerry. If we should just hit the ground running on this one, because we're going to have a lot to say about this. What do you wish you had said to someone before they died? What do you wish you had said to someone before they died? That's the question we're asking. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. Here's the number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Yeah, not all of those loops get to be closed, unfortunately. And I would be in line with my hand raised if you asked, well, how many of you wished you had said something to somebody before they died? Yes, hello, that would be me. I had the opportunity of being with my father in the last two or three days of his life. And, you know, it's interesting. All five of us siblings, he probably saw what was going on. We arranged it so that one of us went into his room alone, and then somebody else came in and we chatted for a few minutes, and then the first person left, and then somebody else came in, and that, you know, so we kind of rotated, giving each other a chance to have that one-on-one time with him, Debbie. And I tell you, I just froze, you know. I mean, I didn't know my dad. He was out of my life by the age of seven, and unfortunately, I mean, I knew some things I wanted to say, but I kicked myself to this day, you know. I did not say the things that, you know, might have brought a little bit of a connection to the two of us before he passed away, so... Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not alone. So Take Two family, is there something you wished you had said to someone before they left this world, before they passed away? 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986.
So Vanessa's answering the phones, and she's ready for you. So please call in. Again, you don't have to be Catholic. We would love to hear from you about what you wish you had said to someone before they had passed, before they died. We have Ace at the controls today. Michael is taking a day off, so Ace is doing a fine job there as our fill-in producer. And Rich is on social media. Jerry, please wave to everybody. The chats are going strong. So if you can put you can drop your comments right there in the chats. And on this wonderful day today of Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, it really does make us think about relationships, doesn't it? You know, when you're looking at these wonderful, great biblical figures that played such a huge role in the ministry work of Jesus, and Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and so you think about how they had a relationship, right? And we have relationships with people all the time, and sometimes we are privileged to be at the bedside of somebody who is passing. Is there something you wish you had said? Do you wish you were at their bedside? Maybe you missed their whole dying process. Let's talk about it. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Yeah, we know this is one of those topics a little bit deeper than some of the ones that we present on the show. But, you know, we want to do topics like this because these are real life things that happen to us. And you know what? Here's a beautiful thing about this. We're the body of Christ. You know, when our loved ones pass away, they're not gone. They're just gone ahead, so to speak. And we still, if they're in Christ, we remain connected to them. So I'm bringing that up because if there was something you wished you had said while that person was still alive on this earth, well, perhaps it's something that God can communicate to them now as they're, good Lord willing, part of the communion of saints. So you still can make that shout out to somebody right now, and it could be a very, very powerful moment. Could be really a healing moment for you. So pray about it a little bit. Think about it. Ponder it. But don't wait too long. We don't want you to miss out on an open phone line at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
We do expect to hear from the Take Two family because it's very important that we have full participation so we can have a robust discussion about this so we can learn and grow together in this brief hour we have with one another. And like, you know, you always hear me say that we hopefully are going to walk away from this hour a little bit changed, a little bit closer to God, a better understanding of ourselves and the world around us. That's what Take Two's all about. Now, if you don't have time to get on the line, the phone lines are just starting to light up. That's great. You guys are participating. You can always text text us. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and your comment about answering this question. What do you wish you had said to someone before they died? Just know that message and data rates may apply. So we do have some open phone lines, though. We'd love to hear your voice. Texting is great and convenient, but we always love to connect because that's what Take Two is all about. That's the way we roll here.
That is. So if you want to make that call, it's 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. As Debbie said, phone lines are filling up, but that does leave a couple of open lines for you right now. If you'd like to be in on the first group of callers here, we're going to get to the phones in just a couple of minutes. And this is, I know, I've been sensing in the lead up to this program, Debbie, it's going to be a powerful one. It's going to be an impactful one. It might bring a few tears here along the way, but I'm hoping and praying, like I said a minute ago, that it will bring maybe a little bit of healing, maybe some closure, because, you know, the loved one may be gone, but that doesn't mean that they won't know what we wanted to say to them. So,
Yeah,
God can still let them know what that is.
Yeah. And, you know, this can be a very emotional broadcast, but that's OK. We do everything here. We laugh. We cry. We just talk with one another. We help one another, support one another. That's how the mystical body of Christ works. So please take a moment and make the call. We'd love to hear from you at 833-288-EWTN. We always welcome brand new callers. We love that. 833-288-3986. And we're going to hit the pause button in just about a minute. When we come back, we're going to go right to the phones and hear what you have to say about this very deep topic, but very important topic, Jerry. And you shared about your dad. And I thought that really came from your heart. And it was a good thing that you shared, because it gets everybody prompted to be thinking about their own lives and the people that they have around them.
Yeah, sometimes it just takes a lot of, you have to muster a lot of energy, a lot of courage to say things that we want to say. And then sometimes the opportunity, at least in this life, is gone. And we wish we had said something. Well, now might be that opportunity for you to say something to someone you love, even though they may have passed. But what is something that you wish you had said before somebody you love died? 833-288-EWTN. Grab that last open phone line at 833-288-3986.
No surprise, you guys are participating like you always do. The phone lines are just lighting up like a Christmas tree in July. That's right. Mm-hmm. I just love that. Before we get to Abraham, you're going to be our first caller. You're going to lead the discussion. We just want to share, Jerry and I want to share about Pro-Life Weekly. Stay informed with EWTN's Pro-Life Weekly. Every week, we bring you the latest news and truth on crucial topics like abortion, euthanasia, and assisted suicide. You can even get a link to the show sent straight to you each week. Simply visit EWTN.com and click subscribe to sign up.
All right, very good. We're asking today, is there something you wish you had said to someone before they died? 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We like to keep our promises. Debbie just made one that Abraham would be first in Indiana, and you are up first listening on Covenant Radio. Hi, Abraham. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm a little bit confused. I thought the question was about last questions to people have passed away and not miracles.
We did the miracle show yesterday.
Because that was the advertisement that was on my headphones just a minute ago.
Okay, well, we'll check into that. But, yeah, today we're talking about wishing things we wish we had said to someone before they died.
Yes. I wish I could have asked my dad or my mom a lot of questions about my life and childhood before they passed away. My dad was a Spanish to the point that he refused to speak English around the household. And I never really questioned him or my life most of the time. But my name is, my first name is Abraham, and my middle name is Tony, which now, thinking back on life, doesn't make any sense, because my dad's name was Antonio. And I'm the only child, although there's three other siblings that are supposedly passed, but in my dad's day, you know, you took in other families, other people's families in, and they were family. And I wish that I could have got a clearer picture of my background. Is all that I would have asked about. Never got the chance to ask until after they were gone.
Yeah. Well, Abraham, you're not alone. I think there are a lot of people that can relate to your story. I know that we feel the same way in my family. Jerry and I were just talking before the break. He feels the same way about certain details of his family. I think it naturally happens. You know, you just, you're not thinking that far in advance to get all this history and all this, you know, background on your parents and grandparents and the family tree. But those families that do proceed that way and do the research, I mean, they're very blessed. They have all that information. But I would say that most of us just don't even think about it. And then you're right. A person gets sick or they end up, you know, passing and you're just worried about taking care of them in that moment. You're not thinking about having them give you a family history lesson, you know. But one thing I will tell you, Abraham, I find it very interesting. I have one sibling that kind of did research on my family, and she went to extended relatives, and they had quite a bit of information on our family. So I don't know if you've ever thought about doing that, just kind of branching a little bit wider and asking other, you know, even distant relatives if they have any information on your family.
Well, two of my nieces have gone into the background and tried to get information, but they can only get as far as my dad and nothing else.
Gotcha.
And I think that because, you know, my dad was from Spain, they take on the father's name first and the mother's name second, last name second. And somehow or another, I remember seeing my birth certificate that my dad's name was Rivera, as opposed to the last name that I have now. And so I, you know, I think that there's a lot of, you know, whenever people come from the other side of the border over here to the United States, they automatically get an alias. They turn the last name around and make the last name as opposed to the surname, which is the first last name.
Right.
And so that's where the connection, it ends. There's no further back than my dad.
Yeah, Abraham, first of all, God bless you for wanting to know this information. I'm kind of ashamed to say it's never been really much of a priority for me. I have one brother who does one of these ancestry websites, and that has helped him a lot in knowing our family and so forth. But, you know, it's important, you know. We look at the Bible. How often in the Bible do we see genealogies and, you know, where Jesus came from and where this, you know, prophet came from and so forth? You know, just knowing these things, it can be, I think, just a great blessing for us to know. And I would just suggest maybe ask the Holy Spirit, Abraham, and definitely your guardian angel. Debbie's huge on guardian angels, so am I. They can lead you. Just ask them, please say, you know, go to these, lead me to the sources where I can learn about this, whether that's people or, you know, an ancestry website or something, because that information, it's got to be out there somewhere. And, you know, with the help of the Holy Spirit and your guardian angel, I really believe that you can find that.
And you know, that comes back to the question, is that I know from life that the love that my parents had for me. But I also know as a kid, sticking my nose where it didn't belong in conversations of my elders, that there was a lot of dark stories that were told in my family.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I want to know.
Yeah.
Well, I know the love. And I think that's enough. But it's a question that I wish I could have answered. At least, why is my middle name Tony and not Anthony?
Right. That is interesting.
But
here's Well, here's the good news, Abraham. You keep going on the path you're going, getting home to God. Someday you'll get that answer. So, and then it'll be at the right time. You know, sometimes we just aren't going to know all the answers until we get to heaven. So thank you, Abraham, so very much. You got us started on this great conversation today, and we appreciate the call. And call us again for sure. Colleen is up next. She's a first time caller calling in from Virginia, Jerry, and listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Colleen. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I was just calling. Like you said, the last words you'd like to say. Mm-hmm. I was blessed from the side of my mother. And I was just blessed to be able to say a chaplet and a rosary. And the peace that came to her, you might say, just in praying the prayers that our Heavenly Father would like us to pray before they enter, you know, or go off. That has died, and that their spirit goes off. She was the most beautiful woman at her death. And I didn't get to say the words, I love you, but I felt like praying, you know, there next to her and watching her become so peaceful and at peace mm-hmm. that I was saying, I love
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was.
Yeah, and Colleen, you did get to
I'm
say...
I'm the only daughter, and it, you okay. know, and my brothers are around me, and called the priest and took care of everything, and but she was the most beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you helped to make it be a beautiful situation, Colleen, mm-hmm. by having your siblings there, by having a priest there, by you being there talking with her. We don't know all of the things that go on in the mind, the heart, the soul of a dying person, but I think one thing is for sure, having the company, the presence of other people there, of other loved ones, has to be a calming effect, and it sounds like that was the case with your mother, and I just really say kudos to you. I mean, I think you said earlier you didn't get to say I love you or whatever, but you did. You know, you did say that with your actions, with your presence, and the other ones who were there, too. So
prayer yeah. is the most powerful yeah. Demonstration of love. So you did. You really yeah. did in a beautiful way, in a godly way. Way to go, Colleen. It's a beautiful story you're sharing, and you're being the you said you're the only daughter.
Yeah, I wanted to say that when my dad died, like a few years before her, that he asked, like I said, I'm their only daughter and going through a. At the time, horrific suffering. And God asked if he could take care of my mother and myself, because my mother and him moved from Massachusetts to New Orleans with a suitcase between them. Mm-hmm. And then I get this, I have a beautiful spiritual gift just by that grace.
Mm-hmm.
So
good.
It being faithful, like you said, is so powerful, and using our Lord, and, you know, it's just, it always, I don't know. It just gives love in itself.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Colleen, you went right over the fence here, home run, in terms of, you know, what... Excuse me, Deb, could you go ahead, please?
Yes, I'll go right ahead. Colleen, you know, I wanted to... That's okay. I wanted to share real quickly before you go. First of all, thank you for being a first-time caller.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing your special relationship with your family. I love... You know, you being the only daughter, you hold that very wonderful position in the family. And you probably know that. Does your brothers appreciate that about you? They must, right?
They do.
They do.
Who to
yeah.
come to, right?
Yeah. right. You're awesome. And I just love, you know, just even the way you're describing your family, it's coming right through the radio from your heart. And I just have to imagine that all of heaven is watching this and listening to this broadcast today. So thank you so much for showing up for your family.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Colleen. Appreciate that. I had a frog just kind of jumped into my throat out of nowhere, you know.
Yeah.
You know how that happens sometimes. So I just took a little swallow of something here, and hopefully I'll be okay. We're talking today about words that you wish you had said to someone before they died, or maybe, as in Colleen's case, you got to say some important things and really maybe bring healing, connection, a little bit of closure, whatever you were needing at that time. Tell us what the experience was like at 833-288-3986. And we will go to Sandy in Maryland listening today on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Sandy.
Hello?
Hello there.
Go right ahead, Sandy.
Yes. Okay. My story is a little bit sad, yet it is all, in the end, I think, triumphant.
Mm-hmm.
This story is about my sister. She was named by my parents Mary Magdalene. And as she grew up, she never forgave my parents or our parents for naming her that. So she changed her name when she got married to Maria. But anyway, she had a lot of mental health issues that kind of reared their heads during her late teens into her early 20s, and then they just progressively got worse. As a result of those problems, she compounded the problems with other health issues like alcoholism and other type things, and it became increasingly difficult for us to interact with her. And so I basically had to cut her off, and because she would just yell at me on the phone and scream and all of this. Well, near the end, we did have a family gathering, and we did somewhat reconcile, but not completely.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Don't ever worry, your daughter," which we have one daughter, "will always come back to you," which kind of came out of left field. But anyway, within about 6 to 8 weeks, she had a pretty bad argument with her son, and she got so upset that she combined alcohol and sleeping pills, and she aspirated, and then she died.
Oh, no.
Well, that was horrendous for all of us. I mean, I felt tremendous guilt. But through prayer, through healing, and I think she knows that Mary Magdalene, the name is such an honored name in the Bible and by Jesus. I mean, she was the apostle to the apostles.
Right.
So, anyway, I'm at peace with it. I wish she knew how much I do love her still, and that I pray for her every day, and I thank her for all the good things that she did in her life.
Mm-hmm. She knows, Sandy. I mean, God is a God, a loving God, a merciful God, and you just shared that, and you've shared that through prayer for her. I mean, so you have to just be confident that God has allowed her to know that and to feel the love. You said she had a son. How is her son doing through all this?
At the time, it was horrific. It was traumatic, but... Mm-hmm. He was able to move on.
Good. Good.
He married a beautiful woman, and my sister was aware of the engagement, and it happened before their wedding. But, I think I'm not super close with him, but I'm going to be seeing them on Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to rebuild that relationship. Anyway,
okay. Well, thank you for sharing. Thank you, and I put your whole family in the prayer book, Sandy. So thank you so very much, and we appreciate it. Jerry and I, we're going to be back after this short break. More of your stories about what you wish you had said to someone before they died. That's what we're talking about today on Take Two. So please stay with us the entire rest of the show.
Hello, for those who just tuned in, it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. It is your show, taking it away and making it another great one today on EWTN Radio as we talk about something that you wish you had said to someone before they passed away. You didn't get the chance, or maybe you had the chance and just kind of like me, you kind of froze when I was with my dad. I just wasn't really sure how to even put the words that were on my heart. Maybe that describes you, or maybe you had a beautiful occasion to be with someone and to share, you know, share an exchange of beautiful, loving words with somebody. We'd love to hear about that as well. And the beautiful thing is there's an open phone line, and we would love to have you on it right now at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We will go back to the phones, but as we like to say, we love the affiliates that carry Take Two and all of EWTN's programming, because without them, we wouldn't have a place to distribute the show. And we want some big congratulations to go out today to another fantastic EWTN radio partner. It is WTOA 101.3 FM, serving Albany, Georgia, and they are celebrating 9 incredible years with us. So a big round of applause to Steve Preston and his dedicated team at St. Teresa's Catholic Church from all of your friends here at EWTN.
Beautiful. Okay, first-time caller Marie from Buffalo, New York on the Station of the Cross. Marie, you're up next on Take Two. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Go right ahead.
So what did you want me to say? Everything I said to the
yes, whatever you wanted to say to that person that passed, that maybe you know, want to say it now to the world.
Okay, well, there was I was my father's primary caretaker. He just passed in April, and I had 5 other siblings, but 3 of them were out of town and 2 of them were in town, but they were living their life. And my mother had passed 4 years ago, and, you know, they both had COVID, so my dad had a feeding tube after that. But, you know, he was the best example of a human being you could ever think of, Debbie. He would always say, somebody always has it worse. Mm. And so I checked on him every day. I mean, can you imagine eating and not being able to eat then after 86 years or whatever? Right. He got it after his 87th birthday, COVID. But anyway, you know, and he still joked and he still played cards and everything else. And I check on him daily and do his paperwork and clean his house and his laundry and play cards with him and took him to the doctor, you know. And then this in January, you know, and he said to me right after the first, he goes, I'm going. And I knew what he was. I said, going where? I said that to him. I said, going where? Where are you going? He goes, I'm going. I can tell. My body's going. I said, okay. Then a couple of days later, I took him into the hospital because he had I said, I got to take you into the hospital. He goes, no hospital. I said, no, I'm going to take you to the doctor. We'll take you to your primary doctor, and we'll see what's going on, because I don't know if he had a hard time breathing. I don't know. Something. I can't remember what exactly was going on. Mm-hmm. So I took him. Oh, he said, wait till Monday. This was Friday, you know. And I go, all right, if it's, you're not better over the weekend, I'll take you on Monday. So I took him on Monday, got an appointment, and I said, you need to go to the hospital, sir, you know. And so took him into the hospital. He was in the hospital for like 2 weeks. We took him home. He came back then a day after he was home. Mm-hmm. And then he came back home, and they were talking about putting him right in front of him. I mean, he was, you know, he was out, but then he was alert. Oh, are we going to put him on the hospice floor? You know, the quality of life. And I said, no, I'm going to take him home. My dad wants to die at home. I said, we're going to take him home. So took him home with hospice. I was his primary caretaker for 3 months. Some days he was really good, and other days so-so. And there was a lot of my dad, because I'm the one, everybody else in my family has anything or everything you could want with material goods, you know, professional careers, they have it. I was the only one. I was a single mom. I, you know, struggled, but God always provided. You know, I didn't really worry about it. I didn't have to have a Louis Vuitton purse or drive a Lexus or a Mercedes, or, you know, I drive a Chevy Trax, you know, that's good enough for me, you know. But anyway, my dad left me basically everything. Got the house, got everything. Not that I would take him back in a minute. That's, you know, not that I wanted it or that. So there was a little bit of, my sister was out. One sister was always kind of jealous. She'd say, work for it. Work for what you're getting, even though she didn't need anything, you know. Mm-hmm. And anything anybody wants from inside the house, I'd give to them if they wanted it. But they don't need it, but they would probably just take it to sell it. I don't know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But long story short, so there was a lot of discord a little bit going on. And one of the things, I don't know if it was jealousy or whatever, and one of the chaplain from hospice came and talked to my dad the one day, and she said, what do you want? He goes, I want peace. Mm. So I wanted to give him a peaceful death. You know, sure. I really want a peace. Well, then my brother flies in from the Midwest, you know, because I was saying, and he started like kind of almost like bickering and fighting with me in front of my father. And I'm like, oh, I hope my father doesn't hear that. You know, like, you know, mm-hmm. how they're in and out of it when it was the day before mm-hmm. he died.
Right.
So he had a chip on his shoulder. Well, then the next day he picked up my aunt, who was my father's sister, who was a nun, and, you know, brought her to the house because she can't drive anymore, and brought her to the house. And I was in the kitchen. My dad was in the family room, and everybody else was, and everybody else was talking or whatever. I don't even think I was talking to sister. I was just talking.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, be quiet, real sternly. Now, mind you, I'm in my 60s. You don't talk to me like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's my house, basically, that you're in. You don't tell me to be quiet, you know. And then I said, no, sister, you be quiet. And then she said, you quiet. And then my one brother said, Renee, if you want to be part of this family, you know, whatever. And I just let it go. And then he gave me a hug after that. But then after, everybody's laughing, and there's like a lot of
mm-hmm.
laughing and joking. And she didn't tell anybody else to be quiet.
Mm.
And so I said to my father, I was saying out loud, Dad, there's a lot of, how do you like the party?
Mm-hmm.
My one brother came in. He hasn't seen my dad in 30 years. He pops mm-hmm. in. They roll out the red carpet and, oh, how you doing? And he's real loud.
Mm-hmm.
Marie, for the sake of time, Marie, just forgive me. We got full phone lines here. So if you can kind of speed, fast forward a little bit.
Okay, I'll let it go. So long story short, I set up my dad's wake, funeral, you know, so mm-hmm. I didn't go.
You didn't go?
In the morning.
Wow.
Because I don't want to be part of the circus anymore. I couldn't.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
I don't know if I went in the morning to see him,
right,
and I didn't go.
Right. But Marie, you took care of your dad, okay? And that was a beautiful thing you did. And a wonderful gift you gave the family and your dad. So, and it's unfortunate you weren't able to be there at the wake, or you felt comfortable enough to be at the wake, but you know, you did a great thing. But your dad, you said your dad just passed in April. Can you give us his first name for the book? I want to put him in the prayer book.
Edward.
Okay. So I would be at peace though, because know that you stepped up as an adult child to take care of your parents, and that's honoring your father and mother. And that's what we are commanded by God to do. And that's a beautiful thing. I would say be at peace, but I will tell you, there's a lot of tension around death and dying in funerals and families. I've seen it all the time. I was in ministry for 25 years. I used to see fights break out at the wake. I mean, it would happen all the time. It's just because people don't know how to deal with unresolved feelings that they have for different people in the family or for the person that's dying, or they don't even know how to handle death. So it happens. So just know you're not alone, and thank you for taking care of your father. Jerry?
No, amen, Marie. Thank you. You did so much more than a lot of people would do, and so we applaud you for that, and we thank you so much for calling here today. Like I said, we've got pretty much full phone lines here, but you're a first-time caller today, Marie.
Call us again.
You won't be a first-time caller next time, but we'd love to hear from you again. Okay, we're going to go to Jim in Northwest Ohio, listening on the EWTN app. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Maybe I got a different take. There's a lot of things I wish I would have said to my father, mother, and my wife at their mm-hmm. passing. But my dad had Alzheimer's and probably for 2 years, so if I would have said it, he wouldn't have understood it.
Right.
But my wife went really quick. It was a matter of I came home from a retreat, called the EMS, took her to the hospital, and that was Saturday night. By Monday, she was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent time, almost all the time, from when she went in till mm-hmm. she passed.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that my oldest daughter and I do now, when we talk on the phone, I always say, I love you, bye.
Aww.
So that at least she knows if something would happen to me that I loved her.
Mm. Yeah. But I think your whole family knows that you love them, Jim. It's so obvious the way you're talking about your beautiful family. And I brought the prayer book out, Jim. Would you like to put any first names? And we're so sorry about the loss of your wife. That was so unexpectedly, and that's very hard to deal with. So we want to say special prayers for her as well, Jim.
Well, you already have my wife's name, but would you put my youngest daughter, Joanna.
Uh-huh. Got it.
Pray for her because she was living with me and was kind of abusive and ended up getting arrested by the police for some of the stuff she did. And
that's unfortunate.
They have a restraining order against her for 3 years that she can't come in contact with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's for your protection, and you need to be protected, Jim.
Well, she's finally getting help. She was diagnosed shortly before she was arrested as delusional and schizophrenic. And I know what that is because my wife's sister had it for 30-some years.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to deal with. But, Jim, we're so grateful that you stepped up and shared about your family. Mm-hmm. And just know that as you were sharing now about saying I love you right when you're ready to hang up the phone, that's a beautiful practice to put in place for everyone to start doing. So thank you, Jim.
Okay.
God bless you.
Yeah, I think that is some of the best advice you're ever going to receive. If you're married, don't leave the house without telling your spouse you love them. Talking to kids, family members, don't hang up without doing that, because you never know, In Jim's case with his wife, Debbie, for her death to be that sudden is just, like you said, it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it kind of leaves you sort of dazed.
Stunned.
Quite a long time. Yeah, absolutely.
But I say I love you to friends and neighbors. I say it all the time. I do it all. You know that, Jerry. But people say, oh, you say it all the time. Do you mean it? I really do. Because what if it is the last time? I want the person to know that I do care about them.
Well, I'm laughing because I had a doctor's appointment today, and my doctor is a wonderful, lovely Catholic gentleman. He actually goes to daily mass here at the Basilica of St. Paul. So we've gotten to become friends, and right in front of his staff and all the girls in the office and everything, when I was leaving, he goes, I love you.
Aww.
And I said, I love you too,
That's sweet.
Oh, it's just,
my doctor tells me she loves me too.
It's beautiful, just to be that uninhibited, about what are people going to think? I don't care what people are going to think,
That's exactly right. Ace just said this. He's when you don't say I love you to hear it back, but because you want people to know you love them. That's so true, Ace. That's exactly why I say it. I mean, I don't have to hear it back. I just want them to know I care. That was beautiful that your doctor said that. Okay, Gina is a first-time caller from the great state of Arizona listening on Spotify. Hi, Gina. Welcome.
Hi.
Hey, Hi. Gina. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you.
Good.
So I was calling on my mom and my dad. So my dad died first, and that was about 15 years ago. And I wasn't really back into the Catholic religion yet at that point, back to it. And I went to visit my dad a few times. I was the only daughter of six kids that didn't live, in the same state. So I would just go sometimes. And when my dad kept going, he'd go in hospice and then he would graduate from hospice. Mm-hmm. And then he wasn't in hospice. So when I did see him, he always seemed okay, as far as okay for an older person and the things he had going on in his life. But I never said a rosary with him or did anything like that. And all of my sisters and brother, they're either atheist, agnostic, or just don't practice anything. So I just wished. I wished I had been had already become more Catholic again by then. To do that with him, and I think that even though he didn't practice either, he'd also left my mom a long time ago. He was a nice man, but not a good husband. Mm-hmm. And so he had, so anyway, going to my mom now, so I wished I had.
Did we lose you, Gina?
Appreciated that.
Oh, there you go.
Yes?
Okay. You cut out for a minute there. I thought we lost you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So my mom, fast tracking to my mother, who died maybe 6 years ago. She was a very strong Catholic, and she was so happy when I came back to the Catholic Church because none of the other kids had gone there. She always prayed for that, and she was a very devout Catholic. And when she was in her hospice, I think I was going like once a month to see her and sit with her, but she had also had the aphasia from some small strokes, and she was in assisted living. And so she couldn't really carry much conversation anymore, but she was God was always a priority in her life and always tried to teach that to us. So when she died, I thought she knew that I'd come back, so she was happy. But when I left to go back home again, I didn't realize that when I came back, she was already going to be in a, like where she couldn't, you know, she was like in the whatever kind of coma they're in before they die. These were my only two experiences with death and where I was with people that were dying. And so I did go there and I did bring the rosary, and she had painted this beautiful Divine Mercy painting of and I put that up at her bedside, but she was, you know, all the way, you know, closed off from medications that she was given, and, you know, like everybody was putting medications on her tongue and everything like that. So, you know, because she wasn't alerted anymore. And I was sad that I didn't have that opportunity. I thought that when I went back, I was going to get to sit with her and do it with her and then be there. But I was only there for that part. So it's just weighs on me. That's all. So that's it.
Gina, this is obviously deeply emotional to you, and those tears and that emotion might include a little bit of regret. I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the good news here is that our God is outside of time and space. What I mean by that is God can go back into what is in time for us, and he can go back and he can make right anything that, whether we made it wrong or it just wasn't really an ideal situation. God can take all of those puzzle pieces that you've laid out here, and he can put that together into a beautiful puzzle that will result in joy and happiness and glory for all of you together in heaven. And I want you to pray for that. And let me I just want to share briefly an example of what I mean by this, because it blew my mind. My parents divorced when I was 7. I never knew my dad, didn't have much to do with him. My mom remarried a couple times, ended up finally she was just single. When my dad was dying in a hospital bed in Seattle, Washington, we were all dispersed around the country. I looked around the hospital room one time and says, our mother and all 5 of us kids are here. This is absolutely astonishing. After sort of the mess that our whole family was, God brought all of us together there for his final moments. Maybe that didn't happen for you quite that way tangibly or in a way that you could visualize, Gina, but God was there and he was present, and he can still take all of you and all of the circumstances and the emotions and the feelings and what was said and what wasn't said, and he can put something very, very beautiful together, and that will bring the healing to your heart that you're looking for. I hope and pray, I have not been just rambling, but saying something that will be a little bit helpful to you, just really let that be your prayer to God. Lord, please take all of these all of us people, family members, all of the circumstances, bring it all together in a beautiful sort of a tapestry of love, and just see what he doesn't do in terms of healing your heart over all of this this entire situation. Debbie, I hope
beautiful.
You can maybe say something better than I did. But
that was beautiful. And I would just say, be at peace, Gina. And if you want to give us any names, we'll pray along with you. And I think that's a beautiful way to support you during this, so that you can be at peace with this. What do you say? Do you any names you want to give us? First names.
Yeah, I am. I'm gonna give you my mom and dad are Anna and Jerry. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you my sisters and brothers my name because I don't think they listen to the EWTN. So that, it won't,
That's a good thing to do.
I'm going to say for conversion for them and guidance is Kathy, Diane, Susie, Maria, and Jerry.
Susie, Maria, and Jerry. Got it. Okay. Expect some beautiful things because the Take Two family members, we are prayer warriors. So it's pretty cool that you have a big team around you in prayer, Gina. Okay.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Yeah. Call us again, please. Absolutely. Jerry, before we go back to the phones for the final callers today, I just wanted to share with our listeners, don't miss the Mass in Slow Motion on EWTN's Podcast Central. In these brief podcasts, Father Jeffrey Kirby shares profound truths about the holy sacrifice of the Mass, helping you better experience the abundant life given to us by Jesus Christ. Find this and more faith-filled podcasts at EWTN.com/podcasts.
All right, first-time caller in Toronto, Canada. James is listening on Sirius XM 130. Hello, James. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, can you hear me?
Sure. Can, sure can, yeah. Go right ahead. We've got about a couple minutes left.
Okay, sure. Thank you. Yeah, it was the first time I've called in. I was touched by people's life stories.
Sure.
So I thought I would call. Yeah, in terms of last words, it was actually, it was or things said to or not wanted to be said was actually my mom's last words to me. My mother, both my parents. I was the last of eight children, and my mom was 45 when I was born. So there was a they were by the time they were. Elderly, I spent a lot of years caring for people with disabilities as a job and ended up being a primary caregiver in a lot of ways for them in their final years. My mom had Parkinson's, and both were extremely strong Catholics, both my mom and dad. But between the eight children, some of us, all of us growing up in through the 60s and 70s, some stayed with their faith. I came back to my faith in my early 20s, and others have, you know, had problems coming back to the church or angers, et cetera. But my mom was losing in her final days, was from the Parkinson's, was losing her voice, her ability to speak. I actually ended up going overseas with my wife, who's from Italy, for Christmas, and I had a Zoom call with my mom. She really hadn't been speaking a lot at all. And on the Zoom call with the caregiver, it was like she saved up all her energy, knowing that this was going to be the last time. And she forcefully screamed out at me, "I love you, James. I love you." And then the call, actually, we had actually a problem with the connection. And then the caregiver emailed me and said, like, "Don't worry, she's calmed down." It was like, she just forcefully. And then the last thing I just wanted to say was that she died two or three days later. I came back from overseas and held on, I guess. And the last, it was like you just said, actually, about your father. We had a similar experience where these eight children were dispersed around in Toronto. There was some formal calls out, but we all just ended up in around her bedside, all eight of us.
Wow.
And all out came the rosary.
Nice.
And this is all of us sat around her bed, kneeling. My brother, who's probably remained the strongest in the faith, as kind of led us. And we all said the rosary together around my mom. And for me, actually, as I was thinking about this, those were actually my mom's last words. She wasn't speaking, but she called it out of us, out of memory, out of respect, of what we knew my mom wanted from us. was to be together and saying the rosary together.
Saying the rosary. Well, James, amazing remembrance of your mom. I think it is so beautiful. Thank you for being a first-time caller. And to know that your mom mustered up all that energy to share a very powerful I love you to her youngest born child, I think that is so, I think it's quite precious, actually. Marietta from Birmingham, Alabama, you have a very deep wound that you need to talk about. Please, we're going to ask you to call back on Unscripted. That's Thursday. Please, Marietta, call back. Ken, you as well from North Dakota, first-time caller, call back on Unscripted. Jerry?
Well, it has been another great broadcast made possible by you, the Take-Two family, and the show team. That would be Vanessa. Today, Ace is on the controls and Rich. And for Debbie Giorgiani, I am Jerry Usher. Tomorrow on the broadcast, do you have a relative who's high maintenance? We're going to talk about that. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day.